Welcome to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute, divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. To contact Dr. Danny and learn more about the ministry, visit drdanny.live. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here. Welcome to The Good Life, encouraging you with inspirational stories to share with family and friends. Why would God bring a minister from London to Boston in this season of America's unfolding history? This is the story of Dr. James Sedaris. He's traveled the world preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, but joins us today to tell us what he believes the Lord is doing in Boston. When Jesus said, "Go into all the world," in Mark 16:15, Dr. James Sedaris said, "Yes," and he took action. We pause here at the beginning of our show, as we typically do, to remind you, dear friend, the reason we have the Good Life radio program is to lead you closer and closer to Jesus Christ, for you to know the love of God. John 3:16, "For God so loved you, dear one." In fact, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're facing right now, things may seem really tough. You may feel like your back is against the wall. Look, watch this. There is always hope in Jesus. Romans 5:8, Jesus loves you so much, he died on the cross for your sins. God shows his love for you in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He shed his blood on that cross. He was buried, yes, but 3 days later, 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4, Jesus rose from the dead, and the living Christ reaches out to you. Will you turn to Jesus? Will you turn from your way to God's way? That's called repentance. And follow Jesus. If you haven't, I believe this would be a perfect moment for you. And if you already know the Lord, you will be inspired by listening to Dr. James today. Dr. James Sedaris is an evangelist and EDM artist. You say, "Danny, what is that?" Electronic dance music artist who is taking the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world through missions, media, and music. He earned his doctorate in healthcare management at the University of Hertfordshire. Originally from London, he now lives in Boston, the Boston region, with his family. Having ministered widely from small crowds to many thousands, his vision now is to hold regular Revive Boston gatherings where revival fire can fall upon believers to become carriers of the next great spiritual awakening in America. Dr. James, welcome to our show.
Thank you for having me, Danny. Dr. Danny.
You talked about, I mentioned London. Take us there. Where in London did you grow up?
I grew up in North London, which is near Muswell Hill. That's one of the places where the BBC did their first broadcasts on TV in the 50s. So my parents are Greek Cypriot immigrants. They came from Cyprus. They immigrated to London, England. They were British citizens at the time because Cyprus was a British colony. So, I was raised in among two other brothers. There were three of us, quite rambunctious children, getting into all kinds of trouble. My father kind of fled Cyprus to escape violence because at that time there was a lot of tension between the British occupation and the Cypriot militia who wanted Cyprus free and independent. So he was a person who was in the militia and he was given assignments, and there was a lot of things that happened, and there were murder squads assigned to assassinate him as he tried to flee the militia. So in the end, he got married, he fled to London, England, and I grew up going to, you know, conventional state school. But in my teens, I got into trouble. I joined part of a gang. There was kind of feuds and wars between London gangs, my gang and other gangs. So I grew up in the kind of violence that my dad fled from. And it was gruesome. And I was totally lost, almost went to prison, got arrested a number of times, got into trouble with the police. I was a drug dealer for a while. So I kind of really, you know, as a sinner, I dived in deep. And, you know, I get annoyed with some Christians at times who don't go deep in the Lord. My view is, look, if you're going to go into sin, go deep, you know, be a sinner. But if you're going to be a saint, go after God with all your heart and go deeper in the Lord. So when I got saved, you know, someone came and gave me a tract. I threw it away at first. I used to feel sorry for Christians. I thought they needed a crutch to lean on. They were weak, anemic people. But that was just the bravado and the pride in me. I remember when I was going to school back in that day in England, we were given Gideon Bibles in assembly. We used to say the Lord's Prayer, you know, our Father who art in heaven, every morning in assembly. So it's like, you know, all of us have some kind of contact with the gospel. It's just at that moment we're blind. The God of this world blinds our minds from the light of the gospel. So I truly believe it was my praying mother that opened my eyes.
Take us back there. Your mother's praying. What was happening in young James Sedaris's heart?
Well, I was at that time, around the age of 19, my heart was in turmoil. I was empty. I was suffering from depression. I was taking cocaine and marijuana regularly. I was involved in street fights and gangs and criminal activity. And my parents did not like that. My father fled that violence. He didn't want to see me in that violence.
Were you living at home?
Yes, I was. And I remember arguments with my parents. One day my dad confronted me physically, tried to grab me because he's so frustrated with my lifestyle and having raised us in London, expected far better from me. And I have to say, I let him down badly. I was deceived. I was misled. I was just giving myself to the carnal instincts that we're all born with. You know, Hitler is not an anomaly. We all carry the same nature as Hitler, the sin nature that we're born with. It's just that some of us don't yield to it as much as others. You know, everybody's sin is different. I yielded very much to that kind of wickedness. But my mother was a praying mother. She was a Christian. She believed in Jesus. She had a vision when I was a young boy of Jesus came into her bedroom when she was ill and bleeding. After an operation, and Jesus touched her while she's lying on her bed in the bedroom. This was an open vision. She saw the Lord come in and touch her, and her body was healed. And about an hour later, the nurse came in, the district nurse, to come and change her bandages. She opened the bandage, and there was not a single scar. She was totally healed, and the nurse got on her knees and thank God, and because she saw a miracle, got on her knees and thanked God for the miracle and walked out after she saw my mom was supernaturally healed. So my mom would have encounters like this, and my mom would pray and thank God for praying mothers and grandmothers and praying uncles and aunties. Don't stop praying for your lost loved ones. Don't ever stop. A delay is not a denial. There may be a delay before you see that prayer answered, but the Lord will break through in their lives and you will see a transformation and you will rejoice in the Lord.
So in you, going back to that moment, where was there that moment where you said, I've got to come to my senses, like Luke 15. What was that time like in your life?
What a great question. And I was that prodigal son. And that moment came when I think it was just the power of prayer. My eyes started to open. I started to realize I've judged the Bible without even having read it. So I started reading the Bible by myself. In fact, my dad was a communist. You know, he kind of heralded and advocated for communism and socialism. It's a false ideal, okay? But that's where he was at that time, like a lot of Greeks were, you know, having their hero as Che Guevara and, you know, bought into the whole communist ideal. And he believed, you know, what Karl Marx wrote, that religion is the opium of the people. So he would never read the Bible. He rejected God. But one day I walked into his bedroom and I saw a Bible on his bedside cabinet. And I thought to myself, I've been brainwashed. I've been conditioned to think like my father, like a lot of us are. We are victims of culture. We're blinded by the behavioral norms and values of our family, our father, our mother, our leaders. And I just chose to reject God because my dad rejected God. But then when I saw the Bible on his bedside cabinet, I thought, if he's reading the Bible, I'm going to read the Bible. So I picked up the Bible. And it didn't happen straight away, but within about 3 weeks, a miracle happened. Two things became more real to me than anything in the world. Number one, that the Bible is the Word of God. It's infallible. It's true. Every word. It's our instruction manual for living. You know, our code of conduct for morality and so on. The inspired Word of God. Secondly, I believed more than anything else that Jesus was alive. And then that wasn't enough. And if any listeners are out there believing that, oh, yeah, well, I believe the Bible. Yeah, and I do believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. Friend, that is not enough. I was still in sin. I was still taking drugs while I'm reading the Bible, believing in Jesus. I was still in bondage. So you might ask, Dr. Danny, well, what made the difference at that point? You'd become a believer. The difference is I had not decided to become a follower. Because you know the Bible, it says in James that even devils believe and tremble. But they're not followers of Christ. They're not disciples of Christ. And I was confronted by my cousin one night, 9th of January, 2 o'clock in the morning in 1989. You say, well, how do you remember that? Because that was my second birthday. That was when, you know, you're born once into the world. That's your birthday. And we're born again, and that's our second birthday. And I would say to people out there listening, if it don't matter whether you're a Presbyterian, whether you are evangelical, Pentecostal, Baptist, Methodist, Jesus in John chapter 3, verse 8 says, he didn't say you must be Presbyterian. He didn't say you must be Catholic. I know there's a lot of Catholics believing Catholics in the Boston region, right? Jesus said, you must be born again.
Born again. Born again. You're listening to Dr. James Sedaris. Dr. James is an evangelist. He's traveled the world speaking, and he speaks to us heart to heart out of his life to you today, dear friend. Do you know the Lord? Are you born again? Well, that's his question. That's the question. His life has been transformed, and the transformation continued. In fact, he'll share more about that when we come back. You want to find out more about him and his ministry? Go to reviveboston.org. Again, that's reviveboston.org. He's spoken to small crowds. He's spoken to many thousands. His vision now is to hold regular Revive Boston gatherings where revival fire can fall upon believers to become carriers of the next great Spiritual Awakening in America. Dr. James Sedaris, reviveboston.org.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky.
James 3:13 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom." The Good Life with Dr. Danny is brought to you by generous sponsors. Thank you to Coach Dino Babers and Mrs. Susan Babers, Mr. Edmund Jung and Mrs. May Jung, Mr. Rodney Arias Sr., A1A Electrician, Cedar Assembly of God, and the Thursday Men's Breakfast, Boston. If you, your business, or your church would like to support The Good Life with Dr. Danny, please visit drdanny.live. Join our partnership team. That's drdanny.live. Thank you.
You're listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute. Divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
Gangs, fights, drugs, near-death experiences, putting his life on the line. Well, when it came to sin, he went all out. Or one might say, when you're all out, you're actually all in, and he would go all the way. But when his mother prayed, when she was on her knees, when she was crying out to God for his soul, the Lord heard and answered in the same way of Luke chapter 15, the prodigal son and the prodigal James Sedaris came home full force, following the Lord, trusting in his word. You're listening to the Good Life radio program. Danny Yamashiro here, Dr. James Sedaris with me here in studio. ReviveBoston.org, that's how you can find out more about him and his ministry. And if you're tuning in right now, maybe caught the tail end of the last segment, you can get this podcast in its entirety, a free gift to you. Just go to drdanny.live and share it with a family member or friend. Dr. James, how did the Lord take you? Of course, you came back to him. The Lord gave you a brilliant mind, a sharp intellect. You went on for your doctorate. You got your doctorate degree in healthcare management. How did the Lord lead you from that to becoming a worldwide evangelist?
Very good question. I have to go back to that night on the 9th of January, 1989, when I called upon the name of the Lord. At that point, I believed Jesus Christ was my Savior. I believed the Word of God was true, but I never called upon the name of the Lord. And the Bible says, those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, not those who believe on the name of the Lord. There's a lot of believers who've yet to call upon the name of the Lord. And there's only one way to call upon the Lord: in desperation, with hunger, with thirst. You come to him empty. You empty yourself of your pride. You empty yourself of your sin. Because getting saved is a free gift, but it didn't come cheap. There's going to be a cost involved in following Jesus. I fell to my knees. I cried. I called upon the name of the Lord Jesus. I invited him into my heart. Yes, I declared him to be my Lord. And I chose to submit my life to his lordship. And I invited him to be forever my Lord. And that was the difference. I got born again. And I would say to listeners, if you don't like the way you were born, get born again. It's better the second time. You remember it too. And I remember that night like as if it was yesterday. And I cried my heart out. I tell you, Dr. Danny, when I yielded, and that's what God responds to. He responds to a contrite, yielded heart. He doesn't care about your talent. He's not attracted to your IQ. He's not attracted to how many degrees you have. He's only attracted to a surrendered heart. And he knew that night I surrendered my heart in desperation. And it was like something from another world just came and filled the presence of in that bedroom. It was God's presence that filled my heart. And all I remember doing was crying like a baby. I don't know for how long, it could have been up to an hour. I cried and cried and cried. I think I cried myself to sleep. And the sense I got was I was lost, but tonight, in that moment, I was found, that I had come home, that everything I was searching for, every answer to every question, every solution to every problem, was found in that moment in Jesus Christ. He filled that gaping wound, that gaping hole in my heart, and I felt complete. And I woke up in the morning, I looked at myself in the mirror. It was still me, physically, same blue eyes, same color hair. But I was looking at a different person. I was not just changed, I was exchanged. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me, Paul said. And Christ began to live in me. And that experience is available to every listener, every person on the planet.
Amen.
The same experience of new birth and regeneration. All you got to do is cry out upon the name of Jesus as the Son of God and accept him into your heart as your Lord and Savior. And he'll do the same thing for you, because this is a work of grace. You don't have to go and live in a cave and become a monk to meet with God. You don't have to go, you know, to a convent and be a nun for the rest of your life. You can meet with God and be born as his child right now if you call upon the name of the Lord. On the bus stop, in the train station, on the metro, in the restroom, doesn't matter where. And I was just totally revolutionized that night. And all I wanted to do, and this is a gift that God gave me, and he gives gifts. As soon as you're born again, the grace of God begins to minister to you and release gifts and graces and mercies. I didn't even know it at the time, but he gave me the gift of being an evangelist. All I wanted to do was share the gospel of Jesus Christ with everybody. This was good news. It couldn't be withheld. And you know, withholding the gospel, any Christian withholding the gospel, it's like you're withholding the medicine from the patient, because the gospel is the cure to humanity, and this gospel must be preached in all the world. So I felt that mandate from that night, Dr. Danny.
So you're feeling that mandate. You're carrying that mandate out today. There's been a consistency in your life of God's grace. Here in Boston, healthcare is a big thing. Intellectualism is a big thing, academia. You went on for your doctorate. How did God, in the path of you being an evangelist, how did that intersection take place?
It took me by surprise. I had no idea at the age of, now I'm going back to 23 when I first got born again. I had no inclination to get into healthcare. But you know, when you make Jesus your Lord, you have to also surrender your ambitions and let him put in you his desires. So I became a salesman at that time. I just remember every job that I had at that time, I wasn't seeking for success. Success was seeking me. You know, Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added to you." So every job that I had, all I wanted to do was share Jesus with everybody at work. And so that's what I did. I stomped on hell for a living every day. That was my mission ground, my workplace. For sure, did some people get upset? Yes. But a lot of people got saved too. Praise the Lord. And I remember leading them to the Lord, many of them. And then my family started a healthcare business. My brother was a clinician. He was working in the hospital at Chase Farm Hospital in Enfield, London, and decided to open a nursing home with my father for people with learning disabilities. Now, I am resisting that. Like, there wasn't even a caring bone in my body for the learning disabled at that time. I'm a salesman. I'm going for commission. I'm earning good salary. Now, for me to join the family business, it would mean that I would be on a very menial salary to begin with as a junior care worker. I'd have to start at the bottom. My dad said, if you're going to join this company, don't expect to just sit in an office earning like a big check. You're going to start as a junior care worker, and you're going to work in the care homes, and that's where it begins. So I resisted it at first, but I heard the voice of God. I felt the call of God into the care profession, and I was resisting it. But in the end, with my back up against the wall, I said, Lord, I can't resist this any longer. I'm going into this profession, and I will start rock bottom all over again and learn. So that's how I got into the care profession. Within 8 months, I loved the job. It was an amazing time caring for all those people with autism, Asperger's syndrome, complex needs, varieties of learning disabled, epilepsy. It was a joy to be with them. And I did everything as a care worker, from dealing with incontinence to dressing, feeding, taking them out to various clubs and pubs, daycare and so on. So it changed me. God changed me from being a bit of a narcissist. And when you come to the Lord, by the way, you're still a work in progress. You know, God isn't, he's just starting with you. And you got to let him do his work. Some listeners out there are thinking, I'm not in the right place. I don't enjoy my job. All I would say is make the Lord your joy. Make him your delight. And it don't matter where you are. You could be serving beverages in hell. You're going to enjoy doing it because you're doing it for the Lord. And that's where I was at. And I enjoyed the job. I loved it. And then I started going back to college. So I started, you know, with my first qualification in healthcare, and then I did my master's in business administration, and then I went on to do the PhD in healthcare management because I wanted to. I was just a curious learner. I wanted to grow in knowledge, and I wanted to do my job well. And I believe that's right for every Christian to have that Daniel spirit where they excel in knowledge, they excel in skills, they excel in competence. They should be leaders like Daniel was in his generation. So that's what drove me to college.
We have an evangelist in the studio today. And when an evangelist is in the studio, there's a certain grace, there's an anointing, there are open hearts to the gospel. The Lord is doing something in your heart right now, my friend. You've never felt this way before, never thought in the way that you're thinking. Maybe it's even going beyond your thoughts. It's just some compelling, some drawing to you, in you, through you, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is at work in your heart. When we come back from our break, more from Dr. James. But I'm going to ask him to speak to you. If you want to open your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, this is your moment to open your heart and say, yes, I will not only say I believe, I'm going to follow. My life will show my heart. Synchronize. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. A little girl was crying one day. A police officer saw her and said, "Why are you crying?" The girl said, "I'm lost." He said, "Do you have your parents' phone number?" She said, "No." She started to sob even more. "Do you have their address?" "No," she said. And suddenly her face changed. Her eyes lit up. The police officer inquired, "What happened?" She said, "I remember. Near my house, there's a church. And at the church, there's a cross. Take me to the cross. Take me to the cross, because when I see the cross, I'll be able to find my way home." My friend, today, will you turn to the cross of Christ, where Jesus shed his blood He was buried, yes, but he rose again from the grave. The redemptive love of Christ, who died for your sins, his arms outstretched for you today. Would you turn to Jesus, turn to the cross, and receive Jesus as your Savior and Lord?
You're listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute. Divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
Indeed, there are moments in life. There are moments in our day. There are moments like now when the Lord, the Holy Spirit, pushes the pause button in our busy lives and says, hey, I'm speaking. I've got a word for you. And today sends Dr. James Sedaris, evangelist Dr. James, with the gift and calling to share the gospel. Perhaps right now, dear friend, your heart is open. You want to take a step forward. You want to make a decision to open your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Dr. James, someone is here. Someone is waiting. Someone is listening. In this moment, please speak to them, your heart to their heart.
Yeah, I think what the Lord wants us to know in this time, in this moment, he wants us to know him. The whole Christian experience is about knowing Jesus. In John 17:3, Jesus says, and this is eternal life, that they may know the true living God and Jesus Christ whom you sent. See, eternal life is not living forever, because you're going to live forever anyway without the eternal life that Christ gives you. You're going to live forever in hell or in heaven. You can't kill a human spirit. And I would say to you, check yourself right now. Check yourself whether you actually know Jesus. I'm not asking whether you know about him. I'm not asking whether you know a pastor. I'm not asking whether you know a youth group. I'm not asking whether you know about a church or been part of a church. I remember, Dr. Danny, the first Revive Boston gathering that I had back in 2019 at Congregation Lion of Judah. There must have been about 300 people that came. And I recognized some faces from churches that I visited. And when I made the altar call after I preached, there was the couple that came forward had been part of a church for 25 years. And I was a little shocked. I thought, but I know these folk. I've seen them in a specific church in Winchester. And they're coming to get saved? You see, they've been to church, but they've never been saved. That was like a revelation to me. And every time I minister now, I minister to three types of people. I call out three types of people. One, the people that have never given their lives to Christ. And there are many who know about Christ. You can't get away from knowing about Jesus. I mean, unless you're dead, you know about Christmas. You know, unless you're comatose, you know about Easter, you know about Jesus. But it's another thing knowing him personally, intimately, and that is what God is calling people into right now. And so these two people, they knew about religion. And this is the thing that grips Boston. Everyone has had an experience of religion. You know, there are actually more Catholics in the Boston region than there are evangelicals. The evangelicals are outnumbered. There are so many people who know about religion. But listen, Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. He didn't say come to religion. He didn't say come to the pastor or the clergy, you know, or the priest or to church. He says, come to me. We've yet to come to Jesus and truly surrender our lives. You know, the word for repentance is the word letting go, yeah? It means to let go. We haven't let go of our lives. If you're in control of your life right now, then you're the God of your own life. Until you relinquish control and let Jesus take control. You give him control. He's not a despot, by the way. He's not some celestial dictator that wants to take control. No, he doesn't come to control your life, actually. He comes to for you to give him control as Lord of Lords. And then with his gentle Holy Ghost, he begins to guide you in obedience to his word. And so I will appeal to that type of person who's never done that, who's never yielded control over to the Lord Jesus. And secondly, people who have had some relationship with Christ, but they're far away. Their hearts have grown cold. Sin has hardened your heart. And you need to come back. You need to return to your Savior. And there are many of those. And the other type of person I appeal to is the person who wants to, but they're unsure of whether they're even saved. You know, they're unsure of their own salvation. If you do not know where you are going, if your heartbeat was supposed to stop right now, if you was to breathe your last, if the blood would drain from your veins, if you don't know with 100% certainty that you're going to appear in heaven before Jesus, then you need to get saved right now. And I want to lead you through a prayer. We're saved by grace, the Bible says, through faith. Just believe. Faith is God's delivery system. Faith is the hand that reaches out to take the grace of God. All you've got to do is believe and declare with your mouth. So if that's you, if you're ready to make that choice right now, wherever you are, I want you to raise your right hand to heaven, because that's where your help comes from. And put the other hand on your heart, because that's what's going to get regenerated. And pray this prayer out loud. Make it your own prayer, okay? This is about you declaring Jesus as Lord in your heart. And pray this out loud. Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross and that you rose again on the third day and you're alive. Now come into my heart. Make me born again. Wash me from my sins. I turn away from sin to turn to you and accept you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Dear one, the Lord is ministering to your heart. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things pass away. Behold, all things have become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. The Lord uses Dr. James to speak, to share, to lead in prayer. Dr. James, this is a vital moment. When someone comes to Christ, as someone has today, what do you say to them about next steps? What now?
Well, I always welcome them into the family of God. They're now a child of God. They need to understand, Dr. Danny, they've passed from death to life, from darkness to light. You were once under the power of Satan. Now you're under the power of God. Know this in your heart. Secondly, pick up the Bible. Just like food strengthens your physical body, the Bible is spiritual food for your spiritual body. You are a spirit that lives in a body. Feed your spirit. Transform your mind through the Word of God. Because Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Read it. Start from the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and continue. And then when you've reached the end, start from the beginning and read again. You know, every time you pick up the Bible, you're going to see a different facet of revelation. It never stops as long as you've got a hungry heart. Thirdly, join a Spirit-filled, Bible-based church. The reason why I say that, Dr. Danny, is this is not meant to be a criticism, but an observation. There are many churches that I've visited over the last 5 years in and around Boston. They know the Word of God. The preachers preach the Word of God. They got Bibles big enough to choke an elephant and concordances galore, but they don't know the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said in Acts 1:8, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And friends, he's still here. Do not believe cessationists who say the gifts of the Spirit have stopped, you know. They stopped with the apostles. No, the Holy Spirit is still being poured out today. He's still pouring out graces and gifts to the body of Christ today. And they're walking in power. So we can have power to witness Jesus. So join a church that moves in power, that moves in the gifts of the Holy Ghost, and preaches the Word of God.
Strong, clear, vital words from Dr. James when we come back in our final segment. And I would say, hey, don't just hear it. Don't just agree. If your heart has been moved and touched, take action. Step forward. Find that church. Open the Bible. Read. Open your heart. Let God move in and through your life. When we come back in our final segment, a ministry of missions and media. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky.
On behalf of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, thank you from the bottom of our hearts for listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, weekdays at 6 p.m. on WEZE, and visiting drdanny.live for more resources. My dear friend, it is because of listeners and donors like you that we are able to spread the message of Jesus' love and bring hope to people like you, your family, and friends. Proverbs 11:25 says, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed." Will you prayerfully consider donating to Danny Yamashiro Ministries so that we may continue to broadcast the gospel so believers will be built up and non-believers may form a relationship with Jesus Christ? Visit drdanny.live to make a financial contribution today. That's drdanny.live. And thank you again for supporting The Good Life with Dr. Danny. May God richly bless you with The Good Life.
Listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute. Divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
So when you have a heart for evangelism, I'll tell you what, one of the things that happens is you become very focused. You become myopic. Everything begins to revolve around wanting to see someone come to Christ. And with that, we have Dr. James Sedaris as an example of not only the eloquence, but the power by which the Spirit conveys the redemptive message of Jesus Christ to people. You say, wow, I haven't heard somebody speak in that way before. It touched me in a way I've never known. Well, that's coming under the grace and the Spirit of the Lord. And the clarity of the message is something very important. And Dr. James has articulated so, so very well the message and respond. But it's not only the message. It's how the message is conveyed. Can it be conveyed in other ways? Can we use and redeem aspects of music and media in the work of missions? Dr. James Sedaris would nod his head because indeed that is what he is doing in his ministry. So tell us, in missions, in media, in the work that you do, why have you chosen to take on music and media as part of electronic dance music, as part of a way to reach people?
A very good question, Dr. Danny. Years ago, before I got saved, I was a musician in London. I had a band. We were playing in a London club. And at that time, George Michael was at his peak. It's kind of giving away my age.
People are relating with you when you say that.
Yeah.
Back saying, in okay, the, I remember.
The 80s, you know, it was a great time in the music era. And George Michael's there, and him being Greek Cypriot, somebody arranged a meeting with George Michael and me. So I'm, you know, a lot younger than him, and I'm just starting out. And he heard my songs, and in that meeting, he wanted to buy my songs. And I thought about it, and I said to George Michael, George, if they're good enough for you, they're good enough for me. The answer is no. Right or wrong, whether that was a bad decision or good decision, you know, we don't know what would have happened after that. But I just thank God shortly after that, I got saved. So the Lord, after I got saved, I knew I was an evangelist. And can I just make a point of clarity to every believer, every follower of Jesus? You might think, oh, well, that's okay. You're reaching souls because you're an evangelist. But this is really, really important in this
point.
Time of church history. Jesus says, he said that to the church, he didn't say to the fivefold ministry, the evangelists, go into all the world. He says, whoever believes, go into all the world, Mark 16:15, and preach the gospel. So you don't have to be an evangelist to evangelize. Every one of us should be busy gossiping the gospel. And if every believer does that, I tell you, the devil's going to have a nervous breakdown. And that's what I feel I'm called to do, Dr. Danny, is to rise up an army of believers taking the Great Commission seriously. Because Jesus said, he didn't say for the world to go to church. He says for the church to go to the world. And my heart with Revive Boston now is to call, it's like a clarion call for believers to come and be inspired and experience and encounter the power of God to be a witness. Yeah, when the power of God falls, that I've seen in many meetings across the world, from Liberia to Kenya, to the Philippines in Manila, to Thailand, across the Middle East in Arab Muslim countries, where I've seen the power of God fall and miracles explode to give witness to the Lord Jesus, to his power. These are all testifying of who he is. My desire is to see believers walk in that same supernatural power, but they may not know how. So I want Revive Boston to be our upper room. I want it to be Boston's Pentecost. Come, get touched by the fire of God, yeah, and then get set free and then get sent out to be a proclaimer, a fiery proclaimer of the gospel.
You've been partnering, and others have partnered with you. Share with us some of the churches, some of the leaders that the Lord has brought alongside, and you're partnering together in the work of Revive Boston. By the way, you can find out more about Revive Boston at reviveboston.org. But tell us, who have you been linking arms with?
I began ministry through Kensington Temple in London. So I'm very connected with Ealing Pentecostal Church in London, which is my home church with KT, Kensington Temple. So that's where I sort of came from. I studied at Rhema Bible College in Tulsa. Although I was doing the correspondence call, I visited Rhema. I met Dr. Kenneth Hagin Sr. So I'm affiliated with Rhema. Here in and around the world, I know the leader of the World Evangelical Alliance. I subscribe to all of the tenets there. I was very connected with Dr. Roberto Miranda, who recently passed away. a dear friend of mine who always welcomed me. I had my first two Revive Bostons at Lion of Judah. I preached there a couple of times. He would always welcome me and told me, the building is yours anytime you want to use it. But this time around, I want to find neutral places like theaters or conference rooms or hotel rooms. I'm looking for a space to begin public gatherings, to recommence Revive Boston for the city. So that's number one. That's my number one priority. Number two, to answer your question earlier, I got involved in dance music because, number one, I'm a muso, going back many years, as I described. And I gave that all up. But recently, the last 2 years, the Lord has rekindled that flame, that desire to make music. But the difference is, I produce music that has very strong gospel messaging. Now, if you put K-Love on, you're going to hear a lot of contemporary Christian music. But I tell you what, unbelievers are not listening to Elevation Worship. They're not listening to Torum Wells and whatever's happening in Hillsong and Bethel and Big Daddy Weave and all these worship leaders and stars. They're listening to Kanye West. They're listening to Drake. They're listening to Ed Sheeran. You know, they're listening to Dua Lipa. So what do we do? Jesus says the gates of hell will not prevail against us. So we got to go through the gates of hell and occupy those secular music spaces. That's why I'm producing electronic dance music. The Lord showed me to produce electronic dance with strong gospel messaging. And guess what? Unbelievers and non-Christians are listening to that. And I'm getting testimonies back of how the songs are touching and transforming their lives. So that's the reason why I do it. It's just another way to connect with a lost and dying world.
Before we finish today, I'm going to ask you to pray again. Because as you speak, there's something that may come alive in someone that they've left alone for a period of time. A passion, a gift, a talent. And there is a quickening of sorts to take what was before and use it for redemptive purposes, for the sake of the gospel.
Yeah.
And it's for that person I'd like to ask you to pray that there will be a flowing of God's Spirit in that gifting for redemptive purposes.
Amen. Father, you said that you led captivity captive and you gave gifts unto men. Those gifts and graces and mercies are distributed by the Holy Spirit. And right now, I ask whoever's listening to this broadcast will receive. I pray you will open, if that's you, I pray you will open your heart right now to receive new grace, new ideas, new knowledge, new understandings, new initiatives that you will use as a way of manifesting the kingdom of God, as a way of proclaiming the gospel, as a way of impacting your world for Christ. So Lord, release new initiatives right now. And let me tell you, don't be afraid of doing something unconventional. Don't be afraid of doing something that you've never done before or nobody's ever done before, because that's the God that we serve. He's a creator God. He makes all things new, the Bible says. And he says in Isaiah 43, behold, I'm doing a new thing. And there's someone listening now who wants to do a new thing. And what's stopping you is a mental block where the devil is telling you, hey, but no one's ever done it this way before. You're the very maverick God wants to use. You're the very person that God wants to use for breakthrough. Like Roger Bannister, everybody was telling him, don't do it. You know, your lungs will explode. You know, the first man who ran the 4-minute mile, and he ignored them all and he did it. He broke through. And guess what? lots of other people then broke through. 4-minute mile is like a standard now. You know, so many people have done it after them, and you could be that barrier breaker. Lord, raise up an army of Christians who are barrier breakers, who penetrate through the culture with excellence, with ways in which, Lord, will proclaim your name and give glory to you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Dr. James Sedaris, thank you. Thank you for ministering today.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing your heart. Words of New Beginnings from Dr. James Sedaris, reviveboston.org. My friend, God's timing is perfect. And there's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, look, just like Dr. Sedaris, Dr. James, this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Christ. Go to drdanny.live for more resources. If you'd like to join our prayer team or partner with us financially, again, go to drdanny.live. Psalm 85, verse 6, will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Dr. James Sedaris, reviveboston.org. Until next time, along with my producer, David Nasora, creative director, Brian Torres, web designer, Shana Kusumoto, and guest coordinator, Jan Yi, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you as you share the love of Jesus with someone today.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of The Good Life with Dr. Danny. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you and that you may find hope in hearing how God's Word affects people from all walks of life. The Good Life with Dr. Danny is a listener-supported program, and we'd like for you to prayerfully consider becoming a sponsor or donor. To contact Dr. Danny and learn more about the ministry, visit drdanny.live. That's drdanny.live. Be sure to tune in weekdays at 6 p.m. to hear The Good Life with Dr. Danny. Until next time, God bless you.